to the podcast, guys. Happy Friday to everybody. I don't know about you, that's like my favorite intro we have. It always gets me hyped up. Like I said, happy Friday. Welcome to the show. This is Second City Sports Chat, and I am your host with the most, Ryan Ebner. Today, we're going to get into a little bit of NFL Week 4 preview, go over the games, give you my picks on who I think is going to win this week. And also, I really want to get into White Sox talk. I've been having issues, really, all afternoon. I think most White Sox fans have, because the decisions that they're making is just... they're just blowing my mind right now. They're not making a lot of sense. They're really irritating me, pissing me off. So we'll go over that too. A couple other sports stories around, and we'll touch upon those as well. Let's start right with the White Sox talk. So they decided that they're going to fire their bench coach, Mark Parent, today. I just assumed that was one move of many to come. I figured most of the coaching staff, including manager Robin Ventura, would not be here for the 2016 season. But I was wrong. Robin Ventura, Rick Hahn comes out and says that Robin Ventura will be the manager for the White Sox in the 2016 season. What has Robin Ventura done that shows anybody in that organization that he's capable of managing this team? He's not. It's as simple as that. He cannot manage this team. His records since from the beginning has been 85-77. Not bad. That was 2012. It's his first year. It was really, considering a lot of people were kind of like, we don't know what we're going to get out of him. It wasn't a bad year. He took third place in voting for AL Manager of the Year. Not a bad year. But then it got bad. 63-99. 73-89. Currently, they're 74-85. Guys, the problem is, compared to the last two seasons, the White Sox made a lot of moves this offseason. They signed a lot of talent. Zach Duke, Melky Cabrera, David Robertson, Jeff Samardzija, Adam LaRoche. You know, big signings they made that were supposed to help, you know, this team. A lot of people thought this team, including myself, was going to be a contender, at least for the division. You know, I don't know. Once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. And I think White Sox fans, including myself, are just at their wit's end with this team. I have a hard time watching a team where all they've shown me is that all they want is mediocrity. They don't want to be good. They don't. And if they tell me otherwise, you're lying, because you haven't shown it. Could have traded Jeff Samardzija at the All-Star break. Could have got something. You decided against it because you fell into this belief, this false hope, that there was going to be a playoff push. Come on. We know there wasn't going to be a playoff push. You're going to tell me that the first few months of the season that didn't mean anything? Are you serious? They were awful. Awful until right before the All-Star break. Jeff Samardzija this season, 11-13, 163 strikeouts, 4.96 ERA. That's awful. That's atrocious. They are the 15th highest paid, or the highest payroll in baseball. Okay, that's not too bad. You're right in the middle. I'm all right with it. But, come on. Have you watched the White Sox play? If you've watched the White Sox play this season, you know what I'm talking about. Robin Ventura cannot inspire a team. He cannot motivate a team. He can't do any of that. He's awful. He looks bored all the time. To me, this was a terrible, terrible move by the White Sox. I hope fans don't go to the games. I hope they choose to sit at home and not support this team by going there. Because the White Sox don't deserve it. They don't. Okay? And if they do go, fans do go, I hope they boo the shit out of Robin Ventura every home game when they announce his name. Because that's a joke. Rick Hahn, you're a joke. Kenny Williams, you're a joke. Reinsdorf, you're a joke. The White Sox organization, you're a joke. I said they made some signings this offseason that were supposed to, a lot of people believed it was going to put the White Sox in contention for that division. I mentioned Jeff Samardzija's poor numbers. Let's keep going down the road. Zach Duke, 3-6, 3.45 ERA, 70 strikeouts, and 60-inning pitch. He just looks bad every time he comes out. Every time he's out there, I cringe a little bit. And I'm like, oh, well, there goes a blown game right there. Adam LaRoche, much like the Adam Dunn experiment, when they take an NL guy, a slugger, and hope that he can fill the role as a DH in the American League, guess what? Spoiler alert, doesn't work. Adam LaRoche, 209, 12 home runs, 44 RBIs. That's what you were expecting to get out of your number four guy, your DH. That's not good. That's not good. And the problem was, and the problem is, has always been, you want these guys from the National League to come over. They're old. They don't have time to make the transition to the American League guys. Okay? You're just pissing money away at this point. Melky Cabrera, 12 home runs, 76 RBIs, bat 275. Melky had a terrible first half. Terrible. After the All-Star break, though, he definitely turned it on a little bit. You know, I got to see him in Cleveland not too long after the All-Star break. That was, you know, he looked good. He hasn't looked too bad. I think he's – I think the thing with the Sox is they're benefiting from – they bring these young guys up, you know, Trace Thompson, Saladino, Carlos Sanchez, and they're, you know, they're not doing too bad considering how young they are and all those, you know, type of aspects. But, I mean, come on. If you want to go – so they're playing Detroit right now. They're up 2-1. From top to bottom, their batting average is awful. I mean, just awful. Alex Ramirez, 250. Come on. He had a great year last year, but guess what? Sox didn't trade him. Why would they do that? Why would they try to build for the future? Why? Of course not. That's not the White Sox way, of course. LaRoche, 208. You know, Tyler Flowers, who just announced he's going to be having knee surgery at the end of the season. You know, he's batting in the low 230s. I mean, come on, guys. It's a joke. It is a joke. David Robertson, great closer from New York. Supposed to be the answer the bullpen needs. 6-5, 33 saves, 3.47 ERA. That's not good. That's not good either. He's blown a lot of games. Come on. This is just it's ridiculous. The White Sox, until they make serious changes or a waste of a baseball franchise in the major leagues, it's a waste. It's a shithole. The team is just a pile of shit. I've always been a White Sox fan. I'll always be a White Sox fan. But this is just ridiculous. I think it makes people a little more upset because you're seeing what the Cubs did. The Cubs, you know, hey, they sacrificed a lot of years of competition, of competing, you know, regularly to rebuild that team. But guess what? It was a smarter move for them. Paying off. They got a wild card game on Wednesday. So good for them. You know, and for White Sox fans, you know, for a lot of people, they're Sox fans. They don't know who to root for in the playoffs. Oh, I feel kind of dirty if I root for the Cubs. No, no, no. Don't feel dirty if you root for the Cubs. It's all right. It's a good story. The team hasn't won in over 100 years. I mean, it's going to happen. It has to happen eventually. So, you know, I don't feel dirty rooting for the Cubs. Next week, we'll have to talk, you know, with Dan and Joey. We'll sit down and give our baseball predictions. But as of right now, if I had to put money down, I think the winner of that NL wildcard game, the Cubs or the Pirates, might have the best chance of really representing a team, the NL team in the World Series. It's a good possibility. Both those teams are really solid. But, you know, if you want to root for the Cubs, root for the Cubs. Go ahead. Doesn't matter. If you don't want to root for anybody, guess what? Blackhawks are right around the corner, guys. They start on Wednesday as well against the New York Rangers. They waived forward Brian Bickle today. I'll see if anybody picks him off waivers. Otherwise, he'll probably end up, he'll end up in Rockford. One of the guys they got in the trade when they sent Saad to Columbus, Dano, he is also sent down to Rockford. Maybe a little bit of a head-scratcher there as well, but I think it's just he's young and they're trying to get a good feel for him still, let him get a feel for everything, and then I'm sure he'll be up here at the NHL eventually this season. But no, I mean, guys, there's other things that we're the root for besides the White Sox. The Sox, to me, just... it's just ridiculous, and I can't wait to hear Dan and Joey and even Pete's opinion on this, because it's disgusting. Do you disagree with us? Do you disagree with me that the White Sox made a bad move? Do you think they made a good move, Keith Ventura? Tweet us, at Second City SC. Let us know what you think. Comment on our post here on blogtalkradio.com/SecondCitySportsChat. Let us know. Say, hey, no. Ron Ventura is the answer, and please then enlighten me why he's the answer. But if you agree with me, and you think it's a bad call, hey, feel free to tell us that why you agree with us as well. Let's move on here. Like I said, Hawks starting pretty soon. Bickle was put on waivers today. We'll see if anybody claims him. Let's look at other sports news. Hope Solo, United States women's goalkeeper, had those domestic charges dropped originally. For allegedly beating her nephew and, I believe, half-sister, they said. Well, they decided to open up that case again, so we'll see what happens with Hope Solo. I mean, she got a medal out of it, So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know too much about the case, but we'll definitely be paying attention to a little bit of that as well. Big college football game coming up tomorrow, guys. Clemson and Notre Dame, the first time these two teams have faced in 36 years. Clemson is at home. They're the 12th seed. Notre Dame is ranked 6th. They're on the road. Big game, 7 o'clock Eastern, or 7 o'clock Central Time, 8 Eastern. I'll definitely be watching that. I'm a big Notre Dame fan, and I'm excited to see what they can do with Clemson. I think this is their real, obviously, this is a real big test for them. If they beat Clemson, it might be a little bit smoother road heading towards a possible berth into the playoffs. If they beat Clemson, I think it definitely puts them either bump up to 5, or they might bump up to into the top 4. It's a good possibility. And then for the first time in over 70 games, Bama is an underdog as they take on Georgia. That, to me, is Bama just is starting to lose some of its luster. It's losing its powerhouse ability. That does happen over time. I mean, the SEC as a conference, I think, just hasn't been as dominant as it has been in the past. And you're starting to see that now a lot. You're starting to see that more and more as, you know, like Ohio State and Michigan State and even TCU and these schools, they're competing really well. Last year when Ohio State beat Bama, or, you know, they beat Bama, and everybody's like, oh, damn. Is the SEC done? Well, I mean, I don't think they're done. They're still competitive. You still have guys. I mean, Alabama's still a good football program. They're still going to compete. They're still going to make a run at making it to the playoffs again. But they got to get through Georgia. If they don't get through Georgia, I think their playoff hopes are done. And for Georgia, if you beat Bama, you're going to make a, you know, good, strong case then that you have a right to get into that playoff push as well. So college football, like I said, the two games I'm watching, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Bama and Georgia. All right, guys, let's get to the NFL talk. Let's go over Thursday night football. It was the Baltimore Ravens, who were sitting at 0-3, versus the Big Ben-less Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Vick started for the Steelers and had, overall, not a bad game. 19-26, 124 yards and a touchdown. He did get sacked 4 times. That's rough, but he looked good. He didn't look bad. I mean... You know, Steelers lose this game 23-20 in overtime, and I don't think it has anything – it's not Vic's fault. I think if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're comfortable with what you saw from Vic. It wasn't bad. You had plenty of opportunities to choke out and stomp on the necks of the Baltimore Ravens and cut that comeback. But Josh Scobie, he just could not get it done. You know, he'd already missed 2 kicks previously. He already missed the 2 kicks, and then they get to the overtime. Well, right before overtime, they have a chance to take a kick and maybe win the game, and not even overtime won't even happen. And they elect to go for it on 4th down multiple times because Tomlin's confidence in Scobie was shattered. I mean, I don't blame him. The guy's been missing field goals all year. It's awful. You might as well be looking for a new kicker. He sucks. You need a 3rd kicker they've already had. The first kicker, gone, torn ACL. They sign Garrett Hartley. He goes down with some hamstring issues. He's done. They get Scobie, and he's just been awful. I mean, they had to trade for that guy from Jacksonville, and he's just done a terrible job. Antonio Brown's streak of 5 catches and 50 yards has ended. I believe it was at 35 that ended. He had 5 catches, 42 yards. He was really close. On that crucial 4th down play they went for before they lost the game, Vic throws that ball just a little too high for Brown. Brown can't get it. Brown dropped a touchdown in the corner of the end zone early in the game. That will also be a little bit of an issue. I don't put that too much on Brown or Vic. I mean, neither of them. It's just Brown not used to that ball coming out of a left-hander yet. When you throw it left-handed, that ball has a little different spin coming out of it compared to when Ben throws it right-handed. So you can definitely tell he didn't judge the ball right. But Le'Veon Bell continues to have a great game, 129 yards and a touchdown. Running the ball also 21 yards and 7 catches. So, Le'Veon Bell, great game. He had that really sweet play where he went to the left and cut it all the way around to the right. Mike Vick is a great block that leads him into the end zone. Guys, if you're the Steelers, you can't be too upset with what it is. I don't blame them for the play calling. I've heard some people say, hey, could have punted it. Maybe. You know, your defense is playing really solid against the Ravens. That's a good option, but I look at it as the Steelers, you know, they didn't trust their kicker, and they trusted that offense, and they just wanted to end that game, and they thought they could get the play out to Antonio Brown, and they just didn't get the ball to him. It happens. The Ravens, on the other hand, you know, they survive. They're not 0-4. They are 0-3. Or they're 1-3. Joe Flacco, you know, 20-33, 189 yards, touchdown, a pick, not too bad. Justin Forsett, though, definitely had a better game, the best game of the season so far, 150 yards on 27 carries. Steve Smith gets hurt during the game, hurts his back, and so he wasn't even able to play the last bit of the fourth quarter or overtime. The Ravens survive, and that's what really matters for them at this point, because 0-4, I think, would have doomed them. But nope, they're not 0-4, guys. They're 1-3. Steelers are 2-2 as they get ready for their next week matchups. Overall, I don't think the Steelers played bad. Like I said, I think they have a chance to keep winning. I think they have a chance to win without Ben, but Ben not being on crutches is a good sign, so we'll see from there. All right, guys, let's get to the rest of the Week 4 matchups. Let's get to Sunday, 8:30 in the morning Central Time. They will be in London, the Jets and the Dolphins. I believe I am going with the Jets on this one. Miami just hasn't looked good at all. They look like they're giving up, to be honest with you. Maybe they've given up on Coach Philbin. It definitely seems that way. Tannehill is doing all he can to get that offense going, but Lamar Miller has just been awful. The receivers aren't too bad. Jordan Cameron not really getting enough done for me. But look at the defensive side. You know, you signed Ndamukong Suh. You're assuming that's going to be a big, you know, role for him. It just hasn't been. It hasn't been good at all for this team, and that's why the Jets, even though they look just, they look like one of those teams where they just kind of confuse you. You're like, why are they winning? You know, what's this about? Oh, they have Ryan Fitzpatrick and they're still winning? Oh, well, they have. I mean, they're running the ball not too bad. Their defense is pretty good. Fitzpatrick's been using Brandon Marshall perfectly, and it's working. They haven't been that bad this season. So I'm going to have to go with the New York football Jets on that one. Let's go to the Bears and the Raiders, guys. The Bears and the Raiders. So the way I look at it is the Bears are looking are sitting at 0-3. They're staring at 0-4 right in the face. Alshon Jeffrey and Bushrod, or Jermaine Bushrod are officially out for the game. Jay Cutler's status is in question. If Jay Cutler plays, I still don't know if the Bears will have enough firepower to really compete with the Raiders' high offense that they've been having as of late. Latavius Murray's looking pretty good. Derek Carr and Amari Cooper are looking really good. I mean, their defense isn't very good, but that's all right because the Bears' defense, I mean, they played better against Seattle. And that's something to be said, something to be told. But I think the Bears lose to the Oakland Raiders, who are favored for the first time since, I don't even remember. I think it's 05 or something like that, 08. It's been a long time since they were favored. And you know, I think the Raiders picked up the win here, and the Bears go to 0-4. Houston Texans and Atlanta Falcons. I'm going with the Falcons because that offense just has looked so good the last few weeks. Matt Ryan and Julio Jones have just been an animal. Devonta Freeman looked really good against the Cowboys. The Texans defense is still kind of iffy with me right now, so I'm going to go with the Falcons. Giants and the Bills. The Giants have a way of blowing games late. The Bills, on the other hand, have looked pretty good. They smoked Miami last week. They came back and almost beat New England. I look at Buffalo. They have a really strong defense. Tyrod Taylor's been throwing the ball really well. And I like Carlos Williams, a young rookie running back that they got. Even if Shady McCoy's out, I think he has a big game. So I'm going to pick the Bills in this one. Chiefs and Bengals. Bengals coming off a really huge win, emotional win against the Raiders. Chiefs coming off a loss to the Packers on Monday night. This one I'm kind of torn about. I think the Chiefs have a way better defense than what they showed. And the Bengals, I mean, A.J. Green and Dalton are really going to have monster games again. I don't know. You know. Jeremy Hill really needs to get going as well, but I just think the Chiefs have enough on this one. They're going to pick up the win. Colts and Jacksonville. Well, I'm having a tough time with this one because if Andrew Luck's out, I think it's a pretty good chance that the Jacksonville Jaguars pick up the win here. But right now, that's in question. So, officially on the pick list, I don't think I'm going to be able to make the pick until probably a couple minutes before, but as of now, you know what? Now, even if Luck's healthy, you know, I won't back around. But I'll pick the Jacksonville Jaguars to beat the Indianapolis Colts because Luck, even if he is healthy, even if he does play, it doesn't seem like he's healthy. He's not looking really good. So in the upset, I will take the Jacksonville Jaguars to beat the Colts. Eagles and Redskins. I don't like the Redskins offense, but I like the Eagles. I think the Eagles are starting to get rolling a little better. They had a big win against the Jets. That was good. And I think the offense keeps rolling this week. I'm going to pick the Eagles. Carolina and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. bad luck for Tampa. I mean, they haven't looked awful since the Tennessee game. They looked actually pretty decent. But Carolina and Cam Newton and company, they're looking real good. So I'm going to go with Cam Newton and the Panthers. Browns and Chargers. I think Josh McCown's starting again. So I'm going to go with the Chargers, though, because I don't like McCown. I don't think he's that good. The running game for the Browns is not very good. But San Diego needs a rebound here, so I think they get it. Minnesota and Denver. This is an interesting matchup. I'm very interested to see how Denver's defense handles AP. AP definitely has looked like his old self the last week and even the week before. He's run the ball with a lot more aggression. He's doing he's playing really well. And Teddy Bridgewater didn't have to do a whole lot last week for them to pick up the win against San Diego. It was really just a lot of AP in the defense. This week it's going to be a tight matchup, I think. And I think the defense gets pressure to Peyton. It's going to be a rough game, rough night, or rough day all around for Peyton. But I'm going to go with Minnesota here. I think AP has another 100-plus yard game. I'm hoping multiple touchdowns as well. Green Bay and San Francisco. Historically, Kaepernick has ran all over the Green Bay Packers. But San Francisco has also looked awful. And they've looked like the worst team in the NFL ever since their win against the Minnesota Vikings. And Green Bay, if this is in Green Bay, it's a done deal. But it is on the road. Rodgers has struggled on the road at times. So this could be a tough one. The Niners are his foe. And I think some of our very own are picking San Francisco to win. But I'm going to go with Green Bay just because they're way too talented. San Francisco is bad. Those teams that beat Green Bay in the past, they had a pretty good defense behind them. And Kaepernick at least wasn't doing this bad. There's just no way. They're a lot better team. NFC West powerhouse matchup. By powerhouse, I mean the defenses, because the Rams' defense is outstanding. The offense is just ugh. But the Cardinals are clicking on all cylinders. They look like maybe the top team in the NFL right now. And I'm going to go with the Cardinals because I think their offense is really good. And not just on top of the defense is good, too, and special teams. They're just an overall better team than the Rams. The Rams have a good defense, but they just need to build that offense a little more. So I'm going to go with the Cardinals. Sunday night football, guys. The Cowboys and the Saints. Breeze is playing. Brandon Weeden hasn't looked bad for the Cowboys. From what I've seen from the Saints, though, with or without Breeze, they haven't looked good. Their defense is really bad. The entire offense hasn't looked very good either. I'm going to go with Brandon Weeden and the Cowboys on this one. I don't know if Randall has another big game, but all the signs say he could, because the Saints have one of the worst defenses in football. So I'm going to go with the Cowboys. And then Monday night, the Lions at Seattle. I mean, they got a little bit more offensive talent than the Bears do. So if Seattle plays as bad as they did against the Bears, there's a chance Detroit picks up this win. But I don't see it. I think Seattle's due to have just a dominating performance. I think they're just due. But I mean, I think it has a chance to be a little closer. But it wouldn't surprise me if Seattle blew them out. But I think it'll be 13-10 Seattle. That is my picks, guys, for Week 4 in the NFL. You like the picks? Let me know on Twitter, @SecondCitySC. If you don't like the picks, you can tell us that too, @SecondCitySC. All right, guys, that's about it for the podcast today. I tell you what, I'm just still really flustered with the White Sox. I cannot wait to talk to Joey and Dan about this. In other White Sox news before we go, they are getting a new scoreboard. So hats off for that. I heard that the one in center field, which is about almost 1,500 square feet or something like that, it's like a ridiculous, like 1,500 inches, some stupid number. It's going to be like, it's going to seven times the size that it is now. So at least they're going to have a nice screen to watch them lose on. And when you boo Ventura. So hats off to that. Guys, thank you for listening to Second City Sports Chat. I am your host, Ryan Ebner. As I said, follow us on Twitter, @SecondCitySC. Facebook.com/SecondCitySportsChat. You can find us on blogtalkradio.com/SecondCitySportsChat. You listen to us. If you have an Apple device, guys, use iTunes. Subscribe to Second City Sports Chat. And if you have Android, use Stitcher. And as always, you can find all that information on the website, SecondCitySportsChat.com. And guys, as always, enjoy football this weekend. Enjoy sports. Have a great weekend. And you stay breezy, Chicago.